Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. Oh, come on now. I know it was a hot week, but let's try that again. Good morning. There we go. Making sure we're awake. It's so good to be able to share with you what God has laid on my heart. Most of you probably don't even know me or have seen me in pre-service, but that's it. My name is Ethan. I'm the recreation pastor here at First Nazarene, and I'm just so blessed to be here. Just this week, I celebrated a year of being here, essentially. A year ago, just a few days ago, was the board interview that I had with the church. And I wish I had time to share with you the story of what happened that night, maybe for a later date. But God was in that moment, and I'm so blessed to be here today. I'd love to share with you a little bit about myself. I'm an ordained elder in the Church of the Nazarene. And you might be thinking, what is an ordained elder doing in the recreation department? I just love people and love sports. And then you give me an opportunity to combine the two, and it's a dream job for me. And so I'm so lucky and blessed to be in this position. And thank you as a church for supporting this ministry. Our preschool is an incredible ministry. Our children's ministry and all the different grow groups, selfish plug, pull that book out, take a look and see where you can get connected. We do a great job, but our recreation program has really been an outreach of this church for over 40 years, with pastors leading it and staff members leading it, to now myself with alongside of some staff members and volunteers. And so I'm really, really blessed to be in that position. I also have a call to preach, and so I love having this opportunity to share with you on a Sunday morning. I've had a few opportunities that I've had to say no to, and I don't ever often say no, and so that's been hard for me to have to say no, just due to the mix of the schedule with rec and things that have been going on. I've had to say no a couple times, and then today I finally was able to say yes, and so I'm really excited to be able to share with you in the middle of this legacy series. It's been a great series for me personally, and I hope for us as a church. I know I've been challenged over these last couple of weeks for my own legacy, and in thinking back to some of the legacies that people have left for me, really connect to this moment for myself. And so I pray that through today's service that you might be encouraged and you might be challenged. You might be challenged as well in this time, but to be able to leave here today and know that as a church, we're making a difference in the people that we are connected to, but also our church as a whole is making a difference. Life is fast, right? Life just happens. And in the blink of an eye, your kids are gone and going to college. And I know some of you are experiencing that moment here in just a few weeks. I have two girls, a two-year-old and a four-year-old. And I feel like the days have just flown by. I'm constantly having to keep my eye on one or the other, whether it's my daughter stopping her from grabbing and squeezing my other daughter's hair or telling the other daughter to stop jumping off the back of the couch. I mean, life is just fast, and as they get bigger and get older, they get a little bit more smarter, but also they like to push my buttons and test that boundary. And so things are going fast. Life just happens fast. But what comes to mind when you think of that word fast? Maybe it's food, maybe it's technology, maybe it's like racing, maybe you're big into racing. Life is oftentimes chaotic. It is oftentimes fast and loud. And sometimes the noise of whatever that life is can sometimes cause us to miss out on moments. And I really believe that this legacy series is a great reminder for us to just slow down. I love fast-paced things. That's just kind of who I am. I'm not much of a planner. I've really, in this last year, with all of the changes that have happened within rec and losing some office manager and just the chaos, I've had to spend a little bit more time, and that's just not normally who I am. I love to fly by the seam of my pants, but it's just my lifestyle. I love to live fast. And maybe you think about a moment in your life when life was fast and it was just crazy and chaotic, and maybe you're like, I'm there right now, and I don't know know when I'm going to slow down, nor do I want to, because maybe you're afraid if you slow down, you'll never be able to get back up again, or maybe if you slow down, you feel like you'll miss out on something. Life is just fast. Life came fast for me as a kid. I attended a private Christian school, and then right as high school was coming, junior high, in eighth grade, I transitioned from the private school to a public school. And that was a pretty big transition for me. And I just was I grew up in a really awesome neighborhood where I was surrounded by people from all walks of life. And so I just grew up loving people. And so I remember walking into school and being like, okay, who are my friends? Because I didn't know anyone. All these kids had gone to junior high together, or they've gone to grade school. I didn't really know anyone. So I just wanted to make friends with as many people as I possibly could. And so I wouldn't say that I had like any specific group of friends. I just liked everyone. Even if they didn't like me back, that's fine with me. I just liked people. And so there was this kid, and we got paired up for a project, and he was big into skateboarding. I remembered my extreme sports background as a kid. There was this movie that came out called Brink, and it was about roller skating, and so I figured I'd try that out, and it was one and done kind of thing. I put some rollerblades on, went right for the quarter pipe, dropped down, hit my tailbone on that rail, and I couldn't walk for 5 days. That was the end of my extreme sports, but here's my friend Donovan, and we were getting ready to do this project, and the project involved going and learning about something that you didn't know much about. Donovan's dad was a chiropractor. And so I said to myself, I think it's time that I figure out a way to give myself the need to get it aligned. So he was big into skateboarding. I knew my extreme sports background, and I knew that I couldn't skateboard. But I knew if I put a cardboard box on a skateboard and went down a hill, I'd more than likely give myself a reason to have to get an adjustment at this chiropractic office. And boy, did I ever. Talk about loud and fast. I was inside of this cardboard box going down this hill, and I didn't know like what the real reason was going to be that I was doing it, other than I was hoping I would get slightly hurt. But I was hoping that it would be a moment that would live down in legacy for me as an adventurer, as someone who enjoyed craziness, and I just went for it. And it was loud, and it was fast, and boy, was it painful. When I hit the grass, when the skateboard hits the grass, skateboards aren't really good for grass. Learned that real well. And I not only was like flipping out, but I came out of the cardboard box, and I remember laying there being in so much pain, and I was like, all right, let's go, chiropractor time. And so we went, and that was probably one of the greatest projects I'd ever done. It was a real life experience for me. It was fast, it was loud, but that was life. The thing about our legacy, right, is that legacies oftentimes are seen as the lifelong period of these individuals. It's seen to be, if you look at someone, you think about all the little moments and times that they did something to make a difference. That's a great definition of their legacy. See, a legacy isn't necessarily defined by one specific moment, but that moment can surely be the start. And for some of us, you're like, thank goodness, right? Because some of the moments that if our legacy was to be defined by this specific moment, our legacy probably wouldn't be very good. I can speak from experience myself. But there's also the counterpart, right? The moments where something or someone does something for us and change happens and a decision was made. A moment in time where you chose to do something knowing the impact and influence it could make. See, a legacy, again, can't be defined by one specific moment, but these small moments can surely be a start. And life is about moments, right? Think about that. When they say a moment can last a lifetime, but then we think about all of the moments in life that we might have missed. You think about the legacy and the opportunities that we might have set aside because we were so focused on ourselves, or we were so focused on the speed of life of wherever we were at. I challenge us today to really think about this. Legacy can't be based on a fast-paced lifestyle that just pursues ourself and is looking to go from one thing to the next. We're going to see some examples of this in Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. And just prior to, or just before this, Jesus had just healed some individuals. Jesus was walking with his disciples. We find ourselves here in Matthew chapter 20, 29 through 34. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside when they heard that Jesus was going by. They shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." So Jesus stopped and called to them. "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them. He touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and they followed him. What a moment. A moment, a legacy building moment that was almost missed. It could have been missed by a variety of different people, right? Imagine the disciples walking with. They could have missed out on that moment if they were focused on wherever Jesus was trying to go next and following him. For the crowd, the moment as they tried to silence the blind men calling out to Jesus, "Lord, heal our sight." For the blind men, imagine being in that moment calling out to Jesus and people just tell you, "Shut up." They could have missed that moment. They could have cowered to the crowd, but they chose not to. Today, I encourage you to think about that. Sometimes the voice, the crowd, isn't necessarily a group of individuals surrounding us. Maybe it's the voice inside of you telling yourself that you can't do anything. You won't be able to move past that moment in your life, that legacy moment that you feel like you're defined by. Whatever that voice is, no matter how chaotic and how loud the crowd can be, when Jesus enters in on the scene and you have the opportunity for a legacy building moment, don't miss it. See, the thing about a legacy is built when we intentionally do something about it. When we say, okay, here's what's happening, here's where I am, here's where I need to be, now here's what I'm going to do about it. This series has been a great reminder for us as individuals to really consider what we're doing right now, who it is that we're reaching, how it is that we're reaching people. But oftentimes, when we look at the legacy of our life or we think about what it is that we're doing, we have this struggle with control. We have this give and take of wanting to be in control rather than letting God take over. And so maybe we look at our lives and say, instead of building a legacy, oftentimes our life looks more like an evil empire where someone is in control. How many of you would say you trust your loved one when driving the car and you are just completely good with it? A few of you. My wife, I feel like, wishes our car had like the driver's ed steering wheel, gas pedal, and brakes. And it's not that she doesn't trust me completely, she just doesn't trust me completely when we're driving. I'd like to make it known I've never been in a car accident. I did put the car in a ditch, but we got it out. I've had one ticket for failing to stop at a stop sign, but I did. That's another story. Rumble strips are there for a specific purpose, right? They're to let you know, hey, you're getting close. Whereas my wife should tell you, they're already there because you're already too far gone. You're out of control. Now, I trust her, but she's also been in an accident before. But the thing about control, right? We love having that steering wheel. We love being the one to say, okay, yeah, we're not going that way. Or, okay, let's speed up or let's slow down. Suggestions of being able to say, okay, maybe we should go this way instead. No matter how it is that we find ourselves in these moments, when we consider this legacy building opportunity, when we think about control, oftentimes when we let our control overreach whatever Jesus is trying to do in that moment for us, or whoever Jesus is trying to use us to speak to in that moment, our life begins to look more and more like an evil empire than it does a legacy. And those are tough pills to swallow, but that's an example for myself, and I've lived it and I've been there. I remember as a kid, and again, as I moved this transition from junior high to, or from grade school to high school, private school to public school, I remember being a Christian, being a follower of Christ, but really wasn't sure how to express myself. So as a freshman, there was a kid on my team who ended up saying, hey, before this game, let's pray. And I thought, man, that's a pretty bold decision, man. I don't know what people are going to think of that. And it started off with just a few of us. And then there was the entire team. Then there were both teams praying before a game. And I remember that intentional decision for him to go out of his way and say, you know what? Instead of this being about me, let's let this be about God. That was a huge moment for me. Think about this huge moment for these two men as they were sitting on the side of the road. When they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Son of David, have mercy on us." But again, the crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. They did not want to miss that moment. And not only did they not want to miss that moment, their actions, what happened next, define exactly what our legacy in life should look like. When Jesus enters in on the scene and he shows up, I don't think it's by surprise. I don't think it's by accident. I believe that God orchestrates moments, whether it's him putting someone in our life or God using us to be present in someone else's life, to show up and provide an opportunity for someone to see the legacy of Christ. And that's exactly what happened in this place. These two men found out that Jesus was coming by and they called out. But not only did they call out, what happens? Their sight was healed. And what did they choose to do after that? They followed. Man, if I just had that moment, I think I probably would have got up and walked somewhere else. I would have tried to look and find all the things that I might have missed in life before then. Maybe I would have gone to the pool and seen the water for the first time. I don't know, I've not been blind, but I feel like in that moment, the first thing that I'm gonna do is probably not follow the one who restored my sight. I wanna go and do the things that I want to. But that's legacy. When Jesus changes your life, you follow. And so in that moment, it was a chance for them. For some of us, this moment is what we call an exit. It's an opportunity for us to just head in a direction, to realize our moment, okay, this is where we need to be. And rather than just continuing on, we stop and we get off. Again, you've heard in my example of driving, I'm a great driver. I just love to go. In a few weeks, we're getting ready to go to Florida. We're gonna drive through the night. I think I'm gonna try and not use the bathroom at all 18 hours. I'm hoping the kids will sleep through the night and we're gonna go. That's just kind of the person I am. I just wanna be there. I don't wanna use the exit. I don't wanna get off. But odds are something's gonna happen, right? I'm gonna probably have to exit. But for us, sometimes we don't want to. We're so focused on where we're trying to go. We see Jesus shows up. He says, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. We're like, all right, we got you, but next exit. Or we see how fast we're going and we'd be like, okay, I've got like 6 more gallons left in the tank. If I can make it to here, we can stop at this exit and we can get food and gas at the same time and not just have to get gas here. Triple that, we can go to the bathroom. It's a 3-for-1 special. Like we're so focused on trying to just compact as much as we can in these moments that when the time comes for us to take our exit, we miss it. Has anyone missed an exit this week? First service, oh, you did? Okay. Missing an exit is so frustrating, especially when you have no excuse. I just missed an exit the other week. My excuse was I didn't have one. The kids weren't in the car. I was supposed to be going to get dog food. I had to drive all the way to New Lenox. I was mad about that. Maybe that's my excuse. And I missed the road. And of course, the road I go down because I missed my exit had construction. They were repaving. So I sit there an extra 5 minutes while the flagger is waving the other traffic by. Like that's life, right? When we miss our exit, And we put ourselves in a position where sometimes now it's a little bit more difficult. We get so frustrated and we're like, oh, why? Why me? I'm just trying to do the right thing. I was just trying to get dog food. Or you fill in the blank with whatever excuse we were trying to fill in for. But oftentimes the reason we miss our exit is because we willfully choose not to. And the thing about that is that our legacy oftentimes is we consider building the legacy for ourselves or the legacy for our family or the legacy for someone else is that this moment of legacy building comes with a moment of hope. And for some of us, that moment of hope is exactly what we needed in that moment. And maybe you say, you know what, I've tried to build hope and joy and anything that I can imagine in my life to bring me some sort of value, and none of that has seemed to fill whatever that void was in my life that I needed. See, the difference between the hope that some have and the things of this world and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is that Jesus brings change. And again, not everyone wants to exit. Trust me, I'm with you. Sometimes in life, I don't want to exit. I don't want to get off. I don't want to stop and slow down. I like where I'm at. I like the fast lane. I like that I can pass by people. I like that I've got the easy pass and I can just fly through those tolls. That's great. But oftentimes Jesus is going to call for us a moment of pivot, a moment to just stop, to get off. And the thing about that is that it takes time to build a legacy. Think about this moment for me or with me for a second. Something has to come to mind. Has there ever been a project that takes longer than expected? How frustrating is that? I love my job. I love the people that I work with. The machines, not so much. We have this paint sprayer that I sometimes have the joy, or my employees have the joy, of going out and lining the soccer fields. On Tuesday, I lined the soccer fields, lost 8 pounds of water weight, felt pretty good about that. A nice cool day to do it. The reason being, I had to be out there for an extra hour and a half longer than I needed to be. The Graco S90 field sprayer has this attachment called the Sure Shot. And that thing is a sure piece of garbage, I'll tell you that much. It's supposed to unplug this line in 30 seconds. Okay, you just flip this little thing around, press the button, poof, good to go, flip it back, and you're on your way. No, it's not. I'm unscrewing it. I've got orange paint like embedded into my body. I'm pretty sure I'll be like radioactive, or there's probably not lead in the paint, but some sort of poisoning, I'll get it from this paint because it's just in me because I'm constantly having to take this machine apart. A sure shot. See, the things that we have hope for in this world that oftentimes promise that it'll be a 30-second fix and it's good to go, oftentimes will fail. And maybe for that moment, we need to take an exit. And right now, I'm ready to take an exit on that machine, I'll be honest. So if anyone knows any good field lining sprayers and you got some suggestions, hit me up. But that is life. That's how life is sometimes, where we have to slow down, where we have to stop, and it takes time. If you've ever been to this store, you know exactly my pain. I don't even have to say what store it is. I'm not even going to look at it, okay? We were living about 3.5 hours from here at the previous church, and every now and then, whenever we come up here, my wife's like, can we go to this place? I don't even want to say it. I get so frustrated. Because you can't just go in there looking for one thing. Like Menards, I can go in there, and I'm looking for light bulbs and some weed eater, weed whacker line. I know exactly where they are. I feel like IKEA is changing their store every 2 days. You're like, you're going for a dresser. It used to be here, but now it's on the 5th floor, and you're lost. And then the store is closing, and then you're stranded in there overnight. When we moved here, my wife and I thought it'd be a great idea to sell some of our stuff before we moved here so we get some nicer stuff. This was the first house that we were going to have to buy, so we really, really wanted to make it special. And so we made it special by heading to IKEA, and boy, was that a treat. The in-laws took the girls, and I was really grateful for that. And we had, you know, the first night, the moving truck was going to come the next day. We're going to go to IKEA. It was going to be quick. We're going to get some food. I was going to come back and build 2 beds, 4 dressers, and I was going to shampoo the carpets. It was going to be awesome. Next day, the moving truck was going to come, and it was going to be great. At 1:30, my wife tapped out. I had finished just part of the bed. And about 3 o'clock came, and I finished that bed, and I was like, yes. And I had to clean the carpets. And I realized there was still another bed and 4 dressers still left to do. Like IKEA, it says it's a simple fix. 1 tool is all you need. But that is such a lie. I needed my wife's help. I needed sleep. I needed like 7 other tools. I just don't like that store. Supposed to be a simple, easy fix. But sometimes in life, we're caused to slow down. Jesus lived this example, and this example of Jesus living a life of 3 miles an hour is nothing original by me. Some incredible pastors have preached a variety of different sermons on this concept of Jesus living a life and a legacy of 3 miles an hour, which is the average pace of walking. For some of us, you walk a little bit slower, and that's okay. But I know we've seen it already today in this moment as Jesus is walking by these 2 blind men, the legacy that took place because he chose to let the moment happen rather than let the moment walk by. Here's some examples. Again, you already saw it in Matthew chapter 20, but here's some examples of Jesus living this out for us. Matthew 19, 1 through 2, when Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee, went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Thank you, Jesus, you're walking by. Matthew 17, 1, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, led them to a high mountain by themselves. Jesus is walking with their disciples. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 15, 29 through 30, Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. He laid hands on them at his feet, he laid them at his feet, and he healed them. You want me to keep going? Because I can do it. The entire New Testament is full of moments when Jesus chose to live a life and a legacy that walked with people instead of walked by them. If I have anything that I want you to hear, it's I want this church. I know our pastors want that for our church. To be a church that walks with people and not walks by them. A legacy is one that makes time for others. That's difficult, right? It's hard for us to find time in the midst of our crazy schedules to maybe give effort and energy for someone else. You think about that burning speed of 3 miles an hour, what that looks like. might mean that you have to get rid of some of the other things in your life and cause you to slow down. See, Jesus lived this example. And not only did he live that example, he showed it to people. We've talked about this individual named Saul and his transition to the name of Paul. And he saw this lived out in the life of Jesus Christ. So you see in Acts chapter 8, Saul persecutes believers. He's literally a part of someone's death, a believer's death. He's a part of it. He signs off and says, yep, I'm a part of this dude and the reason that he died because I heard he's a Christian. Let's kill this guy. One chapter later, again, we don't know how much time really transitions between chapter 8 and chapter 9, but at chapter 9, he encounters Jesus on the road. A moment in time when a life-changing moment calls for life-changing actions. So here he goes from persecutor to believer, and then just a few chapters later, he goes through this understanding that he, you know what? He wants to be named Paul instead of Saul. He's referred to as Paul instead of Saul, and you know, it probably makes sense, right? You've just been known as the person who's signed off on some of the deaths of individuals because they believe in Christ, and now you're going around telling people, I'm going to start telling people about Jesus? I don't know. Probably not a great reputation. Not a great legacy-leading moment. Not a moment that he probably is excited about. But then again, something happens. As he goes through this transition, he starts to walk with Jesus Christ. He comes alongside of and meets an individual named Timothy. And for the next 15 plus years, throughout multiple books in the New Testament, you read about all the different ways that Paul mentored and discipled and encouraged Timothy. There's just a few examples right there. I want to encourage you to, if you have the app, if you hit the media tab on Sunday mornings, hit the media tab, you can see Dr. Bob's background notes. And he really goes into some incredible detail about the life of Paul and the moment and legacies that he would leave for Timothy. And you think about that. Here was Jesus living this example for the believers and for the non-believers. Here's Paul. He hears, he understands, he encounters Jesus, and then he leaves that example for Timothy. Here's Timothy. He's now just seen this example lived out, and now he lives it out to wherever it is that God has called him to go. And you see where I'm going with this, right? We all have the same opportunity to live this legacy of the burning 3 miles an hour, which leads us to the question of who are you walking with? Who are you walking with? If you're not walking with someone, why? What's your excuse? See, people that we come into contact with, that maybe you've known for days, weeks, months, years, maybe Jesus has put that same moment like these two blind men with the moment of the opportunity for them to receive sight. And for some of us, maybe it's our opportunity to help them receive sight. Maybe not physically, but maybe spiritually or emotionally, to be able to come around and see, you know what, my life can be changed because of what Jesus has done for me. Who are you walking with? I had the opportunity as soon as I arrived to look into some opportunities for us to grow different parts of our program here at NASREC. And one of those was our Rising Stars basketball program. And I played basketball. I'm not very good. But I just needed someone to be Christ to these individuals. And so I was picking up Chipotle for a meeting with me and my office manager, and I ran into Pastor Galen, and Pastor Galen was meeting with my friend Gino, who I had met at the time. Gino was talking with Galen. They were talking about life. I said to Gino, hey, if you know anyone, I need some help with basketball. It's 7 to 10-year-olds. He's like, let me think about it. And when someone says, let me think about it, and you know Jesus is involved, it means it's go time, baby. That's exactly what happened. For the entire early and late fall session, which was September all the way through January, Gino would take Tuesdays and Thursdays for just an hour of his time and come and help teach these kids. A lot of these kids have maybe played basketball before or haven't, and in these moments, it was an encouraging time for them. But Gino had every excuse not to be there. Life was difficult for him. He was going through transition himself. His house burns down. Think about all of these things, all of these excuses that he could have had to say, you know what? I'm just going to step away for a little bit. But he understood the legacy opportunity for these kids to give his time so that they could see the example of Christ in the way that he chooses to give time for them so they can come and play basketball at a safe place where people care about them. A church that chooses to walk with people instead of it being a church that chooses to walk by. That moment and these moments are similar to the stories that you have, maybe the similar to the stories that you live yourself. But here's the thing about a legacy. Our legacies have to show signs of construction. People have to know that we're doing something. A legacy that has no evidence that lives are being changed or that you're making effort to build legacy, again, probably looks more like an evil empire than it does a legacy itself. Look what Paul writes to Timothy again in 1st and 2nd Timothy. These are Paul's letters of encouragement to him. 1st Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with the love that comes from a pure heart and a clear conscience and genuine faith. But some people have missed the whole point. They've turned away from these things and they spend their time in meaningless discussions. For me, I feel like Paul is saying in this moment, why are you doing what you're doing? I've lived it. I've lived this moment. I've lived this meaningless discussion lifestyle. I've lived this entire lifestyle of where I've missed the point. And it's almost as if he's telling Timothy to tell these people, what are you doing? And just a few moments later, Paul remembers, but he does not found himself on this perspective. 1 Timothy 1:16, but God had mercy on me, so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. Again, Paul's legacy in that initial moment was not one that would bring others to Christ, but it was a part of his journey. And when Jesus appeared to him, he had that opportunity to take his exit, and he chose to do so. We think about the legacy for ourselves, but honestly, I've been really thinking about the legacy for our church. So I want to ask you this question. Where do you fit into this blueprint? This is our church. You think about the history of our church, of it's just starting in this small little portion, and as we've grown and seen the need for our community as we've expanded and the preschool has gone up and our children's ministry is growing and it's still growing and we need to build and then the recreation fields are there. We think about the blueprints for our church, and I want to ask you that question. Where do you fit into that? We need teachers to teach. We need people to greet. We need people to grow. We need classes to come together and to learn. It's the reason we have these grow groups. And again, if you haven't already pulled that booklet out, take a look at it and sign up this summer. But God is up to some incredible things. But in the midst of all these blueprints, there's some missing pieces. And I want to encourage you to pray about that. Where do you fit into that blueprint? And I know for a fact these blueprints are going to change. Some things will be built, some rooms will be renovated, but the fact still remains of this, that when we build a legacy, even the smallest things can have big kingdom impacts. Just the other day, I caught a rabid dog running through the neighborhood, and as I caught this dog, called the number, a few hours later, the lady shows up. I exchanged just pleasantries. She takes her dog. She asks what I do. I told her I was the recreation pastor. Her first time coming into our building was for the Easter egg hunt. 2 days before me catching her dog, she signed her child up for recreation for the summer. Because of the example and the greeting, she felt so welcome to be a part of this Easter egg hunt here at the church. You played a vital role in that. I want you to think about that. Where do you fit into this? Since arriving, I've really found myself praying a simple prayer, and it's one that I take no credit for, but God had really been pressing in my life. As I step into this role and really over the first year, just kind of look at what we do and the reason why we do it. As an ordained elder in the Church of the Nazarene, I love people. I love Jesus and I love sports. And so I've really been thinking about how can I let people know this? And again, by walking with them rather than walking by them. But my prayer life continuously is changing, but always founding itself on this simple prayer, Lord, give me a chance. Maybe today that's your prayer. When you think about your legacy and the legacy that you leave for your kids or your neighbors or your family or your coworkers, maybe this prayer of, Lord, give me a chance is what you need. I know for me, it's what I need. Lord, give me a chance to be an example for someone. Lord, give me a chance to have a conversation with someone. Lord, give me a chance to be used in a moment where I can bring light to their world. And I pray that prayer for you, that the Lord would give you chance after chance. And so if we consider really where do you fit in the blueprints of this church, where can you serve? We want to give you guys an opportunity. I'll be at the Next Steps at the end of the service today, and I'd love to talk to you a little bit about REC and about the opportunities. Just next Sunday, the 22nd, we're going to have our awards ceremony here in the sanctuary where the 320 participants will have an opportunity to come and receive their trophies. And it's a 45-minute long ceremony, real quick, in and out. We're doing a red carpet theme, so I'm going to be wearing a suit and tie. Hopefully that's the last time I have to wear one of those. But we provide moments like that, and we need help. We need people to be that greeting face or behind-the-scenes work. We need cheerleading coaches for the summer. We need paid help for our day camp. There's opportunities for you to partner with us here at REC. There's opportunities all throughout this church for you to say, you know what, these are my gifts and talents. This is what I feel like God has given me, and I want to use them. And I'd love to connect with you, whether it's at REC or a different opportunity to serve here in the church. But I firmly believe that God wants to use you when you ask for him to give you that chance. So I want to pray real briefly. My prayer for you is this. No matter where you are in life, no matter how fast life is, it's okay to slow down. It's okay to be intentional about what you do. It's okay to set aside time to give time for someone else. It's okay to say no to other people so that you can say yes to God. Because God wants to use the opportunities that he's given you to make a difference and leave a legacy for the people that he's putting in your life. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for today. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for the legacy already that you've left in the communities as the church has moved from city to city to where we are today, Lord, and the opportunity to reach the surrounding neighborhoods. God, thank you so much for that. Lord, we thank you so much for those who are already serving and their time and effort and energy that they give to make a difference for our community, for our church. Lord, thank you for the legacy that you left in Jesus Christ. And the fact that he chose to walk with us and to heal, to bring restoration, and to provide new life for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that today we would leave this place challenged and changed, knowing that wherever we go, that the opportunities would come as the exits approach and we notice that you're calling us to change. Lord, I ask that we would be obedient. Lord, would you be with us this week? It's your name we pray. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.